And welcome to another episode of The Brand Called You, a podcast and video show which brings you role models who want to share their leadership lessons, knowledge, and experience and wisdom. To date, we've talked to a wide variety of over 2,000 successful individuals from around the world. And if you're new to the channel, please subscribe so you won't miss a new episode. I'm your host, Fritz Bussemaker, and today I'm delighted and privileged to have a conversation with Salam Saran. Salam, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much. I'm glad to be here.
Salam, I'm going to introduce you to our audience. You are the founder and secretary general of Be Pure International, with over 22 years experience as a TV presenter, producer, reporter for business news programs with a few leading TV channels, including the BBC. And besides contributing as a communicator, you've published 3 books, over 1,000 articles in Arabic and English, spanning a 30-year period. Again, Salam, thank you so much. As mentioned, you are the Secretary General of Be Pure, actually BPUR. Please take us, what does BPUR or Be Pure stand for?
Well, it is this is a global mission to enact an international treaty to ban the political use of religion. So what is better than choosing the abbreviation of the word, ban the political use of religion? And we prefer to pronounce it as Be Pure. This is, I did not mean, as you mentioned, I'm a writer, journalist, and poet, and a few other things. And I meant to express my opinion in a in an article in The Independent in the UK. And I was suggesting that the solution is easy for the biggest and oldest problem in mankind history. I mean, even prehistory, wherever there was, a group of people, there is someone want to impose their thoughts on others. So this is the oldest problem. So I suggested that instead of all these approaches, which is mostly give ammunition to the extremists, and always, most of the time, if not always, plays into the hand of the extremist. I thought it's simple. Let us make it an international treaty, not declarations and conventions and interfaith and dialogue of faiths and things and that. So the idea was articulated as not as much as it is now, but just as an opinion. And there was an overwhelming support from politicians, philanthropists, and they said, wow, this is cannot be this easy and this simple. And how did we miss that? And it's become a movement, and now it has support all over the world, from Far East to Latin America.
So let me go back in time just a little bit, because you make it sound so easy. You just write an opinion piece and people buy into the idea. What was the trigger for you? Can you remember what caused you to write this opinion piece? What did you see?
Well, I'm originally from Babylon, and I leave it for people to find which country is that. I've been watching my country at least for the last 43, 44 years in the crossfire of the abusive mixing of religion and politics. And there is thousands of attempts to navigate that in my country, let alone around the world, millions of attempts. And I realized in a discussion with two friends that this cannot be solved on any national stage, not even France, not even UK or the United States or any country, especially in this age. So it needs to be simple, indisputable, fair rules for all. So it will make it like an act of self-condemnation if you say no. We are not saying anything. It's an international treaty to ban the political use of religion, not the use of religion in politics. You can use religion as much as, because we cannot have same rules for Morocco or India or Tunisia and Sweden. It is different. So you can use the religion as long as it does not, you don't use religion to undermine equality, discriminate in rights and duties, religious exclusion, and freedom of religion and belief, any restriction of freedom and religion. So this is all the package. This is everything. This is, but without offending anyone, just it is like traffic and parking rules. Whether you are Mercedes or a Ferrari or a three-wheeler, no stop is no stop for all. Okay. So this way, it would be unthinkable even for Taliban to say, no, we want to use religion to discriminate. It's unthinkable. It's self-condemnation. So that way, it will build a global consensus. That is was the idea in the article. And that's why people were saying, yeah, because, we don't want to name countries, but secularism, it cannot be imposed everywhere. And it might damage something invisible. We don't know. We can see that there is more extremism in some countries than others, even in Europe. So this is the foundation, global foundation for all. That is the idea. And that is why it is, we never met anyone who say that, no, this is not a good idea.
Okay, get your point. I have a couple of questions in my mind, unrelated. I'll just start with the first question. First of all, because this is a quite big, hairy, audacious goal you've identified, separating religion and politics.
No. We are not trying to separate religion from politics at all. If you say we try to separate religion from politics, you lose 99% of the countries around the world, including the UK and Germany and European countries, including the United States. No, we are not about separating religion from politics. We want to stop the use of religion that undermine these five pillars. Basically, you could say that it is an international treaty to ban the use of religion as a weapon against each other.
Okay, no, I'm glad I've asked that question because I realize if we skip over that, people might assume that that is your purpose.
No, absolutely. That is the, because this is a very old problem. It's like, it's not easy to understand the way, and there is no best title or best way to do it. People say that, why not banning the abuse of religion? But this is like criminalizing the crime. So once you are defining it as a crime, you are not doing anything. So you, and everybody say, yes, we are, we agree about banning the abuse of religion, but what is abuse of religion? Which one? Everybody will say, no, this is not abuse, and this is the word of God or the word of this. So it is, there is no other way. Most of the people ask, why international treaty to ban the political use of religion? Religion is has a role in politics and this and this and that, and there is no other way. This is the most perfect or the closest to this mission, because there was millions of other missions, and mostly, as I said, they were playing into the hand of the extremists. This one, how can I say it? It deprives anyone from any counter argument. You cannot say, no, I want to use religion to discriminate.
Hey, thank you for clarifying that very significant distinction. What is your mandate? How did you get mandates?
Well, when the article, gathered support among few friends, politicians, and former politicians, and so we were exploring how to get it about how what is the proceedings to get this to become an international treaty. So we agreed that the hardest and the better track is to go to government, to decision makers, go to lawmakers, and then to the government and get a governmental adoption. And I can say now that we have the green light of the first state adoption, which I'm not in position to announce it. Probably in 2 weeks' time or 3 weeks' time, it will be more clear. But we
so
have
will be like,
we have advanced engagement with many countries. I can name the countries because there is parliamentarian support, vast parliamentarian support, and they appealed to the head of states and appealed to the head of governments. And we are engaged with many countries in Europe. We have a motion for resolution in the Council of Europe, which is not that easy. I mean, I know in the Council of Europe, I've been visiting Strasbourg for the last four sessions. Yeah, I mean, 1 year. And I'm going there next in 2 weeks' time as well for the autumn session. It's not easy to have a motion for resolution there because there is hundreds of motion for resolutions. The Netherlands have one or two. Bosnia has two, Albania, Turkey, all countries has things to put on the agenda, and they select just a few motions for resolution each quarter. So it's significant to have a motion for resolution, and that we are now in the process. Actually, while I'm talking to you, I'm receiving messages from the committee and the Council of Europe about what we are going to do in this session in 2 weeks' time.
Okay, in 2 weeks' time, that's mid-October 2020.
Yeah, from the 9th to the 13th of October is the autumn session in Strasbourg.
Okay, so what I'm hearing you saying is, basically, how do you get a mandate? Basically, if you have an idea, if you believe in something, yeah, share that with the world, and if it's a good idea, people will actually pick it up. You don't need to ask permission. That's what I'm hearing you say. Just do it.
Yeah, absolutely. We have support in more than 80 countries. We have parliamentarian support in around 50 or 60 countries. And the number is massive because sometimes we say like we have support in Bangladesh or in Italy or in, but we don't put all the names in our website. We put only one, not the 30 or 40 or 50 member of parliament there.
What you're describing, that's like a full-time task. I can just imagine. I want to take us back to when you published this on January 31st, 2019.
Yeah.
I mean, I can imagine, okay, you put in an opinion piece and you start to think about, okay, what I'm going to write next week in the same newspaper. So at a certain point, something happened where you realized, hey, my life has changed.
Yes, it's a gradual. It took weeks or 1 month or two. And I don't have like background in management or activism. I always do the right things and donate time or money for good causes, but I never led anything like that before because, as I said, I'm a poet, writer, business editor, and editor in the newspaper and TV presenter before. So when the significant supporters came about, and I start thinking, and we did not start for real until 2020, and then the pandemic came and derailed things at the beginning. And the formal start is the 15th of July 2020, when we had the first board meetings, And I must mention that one supporters made me think of seriously to take it forward is Naguib Sawiris, an Egyptian business leader. And he is the main patron of the initiative until now. And I thought that, okay, this could happen. And we are now getting very close to hopefully make it an international treaty.
Okay. Now, that's actually moving at light speed if you're able to organize an international treaty on such a short notice, because normally these things take years in the production. Another question I have, which made me think when you mentioned what this means for you, have there been any personal sacrifices, things you could not do because you've taken on this responsibility?
Sorry, I didn't get exactly what.
Are you aware or do you recognize any sacrifices you had to make personally?
Oh, personally, I have put all my life on hold. I cannot do two things. I cannot do things half-hearted. I have to, like, I have a novel reached like 95% or just like need to be polished and things, and I've not put a word in it for the last 4 years. And until this become on solid track at the United Nations, at the proceeding, and there is it's not my responsibility anymore, because when governments adopt the mission, they will be in the forehead and they will take it forward.
So you act as a catalyst and would like other people to start to take ownership and say, look, this needs to be done.
I would love to. This is not going to impact the life of 1 million or 2 million. This will impact the life of all mankind, because in one way or another, we all are impacted by the rise of extremism and the abusive mixing of religion and politics. So it even reflects on the sustainable development, the environment, everything. You cannot create functioning society with discrimination. You cannot imagine how it's like. There is so many regions in the world. They always go back to square one, no matter you make them like you can imagine how the Middle Eastern countries were 20 years ago or 30 years ago, and look at now at Syria and Iraq and Libya and so many countries. So this will impact the life of billions. Literally, it's not just the victims. We are talking about 1 billion women or children or minorities, but the livelihood of the whole regions and reflections on Europe, on the West, on everything. So I really, yes, would love to have more people. I joke with my friends. I tell them, we are cooking some history. Come and join us in the kitchen. We want people in the kitchen. We want, and this is very rewarding on personal level and on the impact on the global stage.
Now, Salam, you talked about the ambition to have an international treaty. How do you get people behind this? And okay, you start off with writing the article, people react on it, but you have a board, you have a group of ambassadors. Could you explain your organization, why you need these ambassadors, what is their role, what is the role of the board, how do you operate?
This I'm going to expose all the background and the secrets. It's a very small organization. It's just, I mean, sometimes I feel that meaningful initiatives, they don't get attention. If you talk about tolerance and peace without any targets or objectives, lots of people will And if you have the stage, if you have events, if you have public opinion and sensational titles and things, lots of people support it. This is very, very small. And just like the introduction to you by our friend UC Sommer, and it's spreading like this. Member of Parliament from Spain and Germany and Italy introduce it to the Council of Europe and introduce it to other friends. It's just like that. And we need more resources. It's absolutely, I can't tell you, like, I'm the only full-time person in this initiative, and also from my own money. So it's, but we have contributions from hundreds of people, including yourself. I believe that you will, you are, after our conversation yesterday, you are very passionate about the initiative, and we love to have you with us.
Thank you for that, Salam. Now, it's good to see that once you have an idea, with the right idea, you can start to create a movement. And that's also what I would like to share with the audience, that you don't have to wait. It doesn't have to be a big organization. If you believe in something, just start, and people will follow. Now, I was wondering, because it's such a big, hairy, audacious goal, what does success mean for you?
Well, as I said, my background, I'm originally from Iraq. And I see the problem across the Middle East and across Europe, even, like, the polarization is growing very badly in the West. I just wrote the article in an honest spirit. And then when people supported it, I saw that this is viable. It can be. And once I believe that it is viable, that's it. There is no way back. I have to find, and there's lots of supporters. They just always, they repeat things like, they cannot believe how persistent I am and dedicated to get it done. And it
does yeah. Success then mean, in this case, being able to be motivated every time you wake up? Okay, I still want to spend time on that. Is that your definition of success? So how do you?
Yes, I'm one things you need to know about me. I'm positive 24/7 since I was 3 years old. No, I cannot say I'm tired. No matter what is the condition, I cannot say that. I cannot. So I'm positive like that, and I live now, and I have to keep going with this. And the success is to become an international treaty, and the day it become, I will not be an executive. I will go back to my life, to my writing, to my personal life. So I believe that this can be an international treaty, and this can make massive impact. If we want to mention countries, probably Lebanon, Iraq, Iran, but we cannot mention all of them. But it is. There is so many stable countries, but there is discrimination in them. We don't want to name any country now, because you cannot issue penalties before you have the rules.
Okay, I got cannot, that. Yeah. I want to come back to the discrimination you mentioned a couple of times. So by taking, you want to stop discrimination. To what extent do you have conversations with people about, look, also poverty is a great source of conflicts. So rather than looking at the role of religion, let's first see if we can solve poverty, equal access to resources, because that might also help create the world you desire.
Of course, absolutely. But with discrimination, with non-functioning society, you cannot create prosperity. You cannot. You can feed them today, and tomorrow there is discrimination, and there is the whole society, the whole business environment, the whole equality rules is not there. So you could treat poverty, and then it's back to square one the next month or the month after. This is to create functioning society. This is This is bigger than the use of religion in politics, because it could apply to any other discrimination regarding race or regarding anything. This is to eliminate the root causes of all religious conflict you see around the world. We need hours and hours and hours to really just to talk about one example, one country. What would happen in Tunisia, for example, if religion was not used in the last 12 years of prosperity, of security and things, and you see the country because the tug of war between religious parties and whatever other parties are destroyed. That is a simple example. We did not talk about Pakistan or Iran or India, or we did not talk about bigger impact that would happen. Tunisia is quite stable and democratic until now, and still it would make massive difference if in other countries there is discrimination against women. And there is so much wasted resources and prospect, so much wasted prospect for the country if they were stable and if they sort these things. This is fundamental rules for all the globe. And instead of going and trying to solve the problem in Ethiopia or in Iran or things like that, now, for example, you put political pressure on that country or that country for violating this and that. But when there is an international treaty, you can say that this is a violation of Article 2 of the international treaty. So the world would speak with one voice. Now the world is talking with 2,000 different voices to Afghanistan, for example, or Iran, or any country. So this is really fundamental, and it will make massive difference in the world.
Got it. Now, so far to date, has this been a smooth ride, or was it a bumpy road? Have you experienced any failures along the way, and how did you resolve those?
We did not face any, even perpetrators or people who believe in the discrimination, it's unthinkable to say it. So we did not face anybody saying, no, this is, some people think, yeah, but we have the Universal Declaration of Human Rights or this or that, but they don't see that this is an international treaty. This is different level, and this is highly focused and more effective to solve the problem. If you have a tool and you try to do something and it doesn't work, it doesn't matter. It doesn't, you can find another better, more effective tool. So as simple as that. So this is a more effective approach, and it would build global consensus. It is indisputable or irrefutable. Nobody can say, because we are not mentioning any religion or any country at all. This is the rules, like the traffic and parking rules. Whether your engine is Ferrari and strong, speed limit is 40 mile. That's it for all. So this is simple and indisputable, and no like clergy system or any religious leader can say, no, this is not fair, or we want to keep doing that. So this is a different approach to the biggest problem. And if you say that we have lots of solutions for this problem, yes, there you have millions of solutions. And what does it say? What does it say that you have like 70 different declarations and conventions and things like that? What does it say? So this is more effective. This is simple, indisputable, and bring or create global consensus on basic things. We don't use religion against each other. Don't mention it. That's it. No matter who you are, color, race, gender, religion cannot be used against each other.
I love your passion when you talk about your ideas and the concept of this international treaty to ban the political use of religion. You got a very, I'd say, interesting month ahead of you, October. Is that going to be a deal breaker or a significant milestone? How do you view what's going to happen?
On the political scene, like things take very, very long. The proceedings, like we are close. I believed from day one this will happen, and I did not like. I'm still believing it will happen. Yes, we are very much closer. But for example, the motion for resolution in the Council of Europe, you need first. More than at least 20 lawmakers from at least 5 countries. So if you have 200, but they are from 4 countries, you are not to table a motion for resolution. Then it goes to the presidential committee, which looks into 100 and choose 6, 7, or 10. I don't know exactly the number. And then it goes to the bureau, and the bureau allocated to which committee, and then they select a rapporteur, and all that has happened already in June. And then the rapporteurs start working on the resolution to table it for a thing. So the same things with the United Nations. We are very close, as I said, this month to meaningful ado state adoption, and this is. Could be like a domino effect. Once you drop the first stone of the domino, you'll have a domino effect. Many countries. It's like the motion, the resolution in the Council of Europe, it's not mandatory, but you need a crazy reason to say no. If you are Sweden or the Netherlands or the UK or France, there's so it's like a democratic resolution by representative of all the ruling parties and oppositions of all the countries, and they go through a debate and they vote for something. That means like all these countries, if not all, the majority of them will adopt the initiative.
Got it. Time is moving so fast, Salam. I love talking to you. A couple of quick personal questions. First of all, do your friends and foremost family support what you're doing?
Yes, but this is like if you are my friend and you are a writer or academic or thing, and you don't, this is for decision making. Like, for example, we could have 10 million or 20 million followers on social media. So, but it might be more damaging than because people who are on the far left or far right would say, you are this and you are that, and we are not. And we need to filter and respond to all these things. So yes, everybody around me supporting it, but it is we need key people to support it. People who, like for example, you mentioned yesterday, few people or few forums or organizations that would love this, and I'm calling all everybody who's listening. If you can add to this in the kitchen, just like simple, like let us do this, let us do that. Because we could have achieved all much, much more in the last 4 years if we have the resources, or if I have like the qualified people around me to take it. If I have you and other people with me thinking that this is, we are making global impact. We are impacting the life of billions, of the future of mankind on this planet. And if you, I know that you are involved in the digital age and the AI and the future. This is an old problem. It will reflect, it will go through into the new problems in the future. So solving this old problem will make it much easier for the future of AI and digital age to be more stable, at least like they're not using the old weapons in the new age. So I'm calling everyone who can. Help, please contact us. It is bpur.org.
Hey, Salam, we're going to finish this conversation with that call to action. We'll make sure that the website's included when we post this, everybody. Again, Salem, Saran, I want to thank you so much for you to share your initiative and your thoughts on creating an international treaty to ban the political use of religion. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. I hope the interview is okay because I'm too passionate and so many things jams in my mind when I want to say anything. Thank you.
We will let the audience decide. So, and
thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to The Brand Called You videocast and podcast, a platform that brings you knowledge, experience, and wisdom of hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Do visit our website, www.tbcy.in, to watch and listen to the stories of many more individuals. You can also follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Just search for The Brand Called You.